This is the Graceful Atheist Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Graceful Atheist Podcast. My name is David, and I am trying to be the Graceful Atheist. Thank you again to those of you who have rated and reviewed the podcast, both on Apple Podcasts and on Podchaser.com. If you haven't already, please do consider rating and reviewing the podcast, and subscribe wherever you are listening to this episode. More than that, please tell a friend about the podcast. The nature of the podcast is such that I am trying to thread a needle between liberal Christianity on one side and hard atheism on the other. We are trying to do secular grace here, and it is difficult and nuanced to communicate that message. I am convinced, however, that there is a huge audience for this, but half of the battle is discovery, having the audience find the podcast. So if you know somebody who could benefit from the podcast, please let them know how they can find it. Special thanks to Mike T for editing today's podcast. On to today's show. My guest today is Carly. Carly was a Christian Scientist who eventually deconverted. As you're about to hear, Carly was very dedicated and evangelistic about Christian Science. And in fact, the church that she was a part of was less so than she was. She was the one pushing to do various outreaches and things of that nature, and she was getting held back from doing that. In the end, she found that more secular things gave her the kind of life fulfillment that she was actually looking for: a healthy diet, exercise, therapy, and other things that weren't prescribed by the church. And juxtaposed against the promise of healing and a fullness of life that she was not experiencing within the church. Eventually, the doubts got to her, and she deconverted. A special guest on the episode is Carly's dog, Sia. You may hear Sia a handful of times throughout the episode, and I just wanted to introduce you to her here. I now give you my conversation with Carly. Carly, welcome to the Graceful Atheist Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you reached out to me and you have an interesting story to tell here. I have not yet had anyone who is from the Christian Science tradition. So I'm very interested in hearing what your experience was like within Christian Science and then what ultimately began to lead to some doubts.
Sure. So I grew up in the Lutheran church and was confirmed and did youth group and joined the choir and had some great relationships with people in the Lutheran church. And then I went to college and studied, I had a liberal arts degree, and part of that degree, there was a lot of philosophy.
Okay.
And it was, I loved it. Just starting out freshman year, we were reading, you know, the ancient Greeks.
Yeah.
And I love old bound books and the musty smell of bookstores. And so that was really fun. And then sophomore year, we started to study the Bible and theologians like Maimonides and Aquinas.
Yeah.
And around that time, I met someone who was a Christian Scientist. And I don't know what conversation we were having, but I remember we were in my dorm room talking and he said, I want you to read something. So I went to my computer and pulled up what I later figured out was Science and Health.
Okay.
So the Science and Health is the textbook for Christian Science written by Mary Baker Eddy. Mm-hmm. She wrote Science and Health over a few years and then founded the Christian Science Church in the late 19th century. I think there was a big boom of new churches starting at that time. I think that's really fascinating.
I also think it's interesting that we have a number of women who begin churches. So you have Mary Baker Eddy, and I always blank on the name, but the woman who started the Foursquare Church as well. And yet it seems like then we diverge and that stops being the case. So I always think that's interesting.
Well, I mean, I don't think that was a big attraction to me. Like, it wasn't something that caught my attention at first, but it is something that I really liked about the Christian Science Church, was that the founder was a woman and there was a lot of respect for female leadership. So, right. Yeah. So my friend pulled up a copy of Science and Health. I thought it was an article. I didn't realize it was like a 300 page book. So I just started reading and I kept reading and I kept reading. I was like, how long is this? Like, do you expect me to finish this right now so we can talk about it? And he goes, no, I'll get you a hard copy. But I found it really, really wonderful. On the very first page, the second paragraph begins with the statement, "The time for thinkers has come." And here I am immersed in philosophy and having these really amazing conversations and really learning what is logic, what is rhetoric, what is a system of thought that can be internally consistent, and you can test that internal consistency. So, you know, that's where I was at. And so reading a book that said Christianity can be that as well, it was very attractive. And, you know, in school, we read a few books of the Bible and we read them in order and in their entirety. And that was a new experience for me. Like, I hadn't done that growing up. So reading the book of Matthew, you know, on my own, and then having a few classes on it where we could have discussions about it, I was like, the book of Matthew is pretty great. Like, if this is what Christianity is, I like this a lot. It's love your neighbor, heal people, you know, and that was a picture of Christianity I really enjoyed. And I was like, who actually practices Christianity in this way? And so when I started learning about the Christian Science Church, I was like, oh, I think these are the people who practice Christianity the way I want, with, you know, they don't avoid hard questions, and there's a major focus on love and that God is good. And I liked that consistency, that logical consistency. And in that sense, I still firmly say Christian Science is a science, right? It's as scientific as Euclid. It's as scientific as Aristotle. And what makes it that way is, she sets up her terms, she defines her terms, and then she writes out logical proofs with those terms. And as far as I can tell, it's all internally consistent.
I think that's a really important key statement, internally consistent, because I find when talking with apologists in general, that is kind of the argument they're making, is like, look, this is internally consistent. And yes, it's internally consistent if one accepts the axiomatic elements that it is founded on.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So in college, I started attending the church. There are two services every week, the Sunday service. And then I started out only going to the Wednesday evening services. It was a bit more informal. And there's no clergy. So there are the congregation members elect readers for 3-year terms. And so the first reader will select passages from the Bible and Science and Health, and that will be the first half of the Wednesday service. And then the second half is time for church members to stand up and give testimonies of healings that they experienced by practicing Christian Science. And that's another thing I found really attractive, was I felt that there was a higher expectation that you were practicing this every moment of your life. It's not something that you do on Sundays, and it's not an excuse to socialize. I wanted that rigor. I wanted my church members to be there, and it was very supportive. I never felt obligated to give a testimony, but I started out in a very small church, and many times we would sit in silence for 20 minutes. And that, I found that very valuable too, that time of the week where we're sitting in silence. It made me feel closer to my fellow church members. And then especially when they would get up and share things that they were struggling with, and how prayer and applying Christian Science and the certain passages that they studied that helped them understand the truth of being. And then that was a healing. And I felt that also, yeah, just felt like we're building a lot of intimacy with our fellow church members. And I've really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah. I really relate to a lot of what you just said, in that, you know, my story is, you know, I read through the New Testament really before I spent any real time in a church. And it was, and in particular, Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount, it was this, the character of Jesus and the way that he was reaching out to the poor and the broken and raising them above all of the religious leaders of the time. I thought, wow, that's really exciting. And I went through the exact same process that you did of looking for a church where it felt like they were living that out in some way. And so, as I've said with many of my guests, you know, it sounds like you took it very seriously. You wanted it to be something real, living and breathing in your life.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, I'll explain a little bit more about Christian Science and just the foundation of it.
Yeah.
So one thing that I loved throughout the years I was a Christian Scientist and always relied on was the definition of God in Science and Health. She has seven synonyms for God.
Okay.
Let me see if I can remember. Life, truth, love, spirit, mind, principle. Life, truth, love. Oh man, I'm gonna have to cheat and look at my book.
That's fine. Yeah.
It's.
I got to tell the listeners that Carly has a beautiful dog who is in frame right now.
She always thinks I'm talking to her when yes. I'm on these meetings. So the definition of God is principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. So whenever I was struggling with something, if I felt like this is hard or I'm in pain or I needed guidance, going back to these synonyms, I could usually find one that would help me interpret whatever situation I was in. So, you know, and trying to characterize each of the different principle or each of the different definitions, it's a very active process, I feel like, with everyone in the church. So, you know, the first one she says is principle, and a lot of people didn't connect with that, but I loved it because I thought that it was... It's the systematic application, right? That's the science of it. And then truth, you know, I wanted to study philosophy because I wanted to understand metaphysical truth. And so going to a church where they said God is truth, that was wonderful. It's like, okay, if this situation feels bad, it means that I'm not understanding the truth about it. And so if I read enough and understand the Bible and understand science and health, then I will understand the truth and whatever problem I have will disappear. And that's my interpretation of what a Christian Science healing is.
Okay. Okay.
So I did experience a few healings, but you know, I was in my 20s. I'm pretty healthy. Looking back on it now, I don't know how to really understand what I experienced. So
sure.
You know, I remember one time I had been gardening and I noticed a spider web. And then a few hours later, I noticed like a little bite and some swelling and a lot of pain in my hand. And I was like, well, I guess I was bitten by a spider. So I sat, you know, reading the Bible and Science and Health, you know, just flipping through, finding passages that I had marked. The church releases every quarter all of the readings that are going to be on the Sunday service. So Christian Scientists are expected to work with that throughout the week. So usually it's broken up into six sections and you can read section one on Monday, section two on Tuesday. I almost never was that disciplined.
Yeah.
But it was always there as a resource of like, oh, I don't know what I should be reading right now. I can just read the weekly lesson. And I loved that expectation of, you don't just go to church to listen and receive. It's something that you're actively working with throughout the week. So yeah, I think I probably picked up the lesson and was reading that. And maybe, I don't know how long it was, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours. The pain in my hand was gone and I felt comfortable to go to bed and like not worry about it. It's a very it seems like a very minor thing. I mean, there was one time I tried to get up in the morning and passed out.
Oh, I don't know.
Yes. Okay. And I found myself on the floor and I was like, what just happened? And so I went and called a practitioner. So in Christian Science, there are folks who go through what is called class instruction. And once you have completed class instruction, you can list yourself as a practitioner in the Christian Science periodicals so that other Christian scientists can call you and ask you to help them with their healings or if they need support with the healing. And so I called a practitioner and she prayed with me and she gave me some readings to study from the Bible and Science and Health again.
Yeah.
And I worked with her over a couple days and it didn't happen again. So yeah.
I think this might be the one of the key differentiators for Christian Science is that there's very much a focus on healing. And am I mistaken in saying that you're encouraged to go to a practitioner before you would go to, say, a doctor? Or is that too much of a statement?
Well, here's where my doubts crept in, right?
Okay.
Because
okay.
So yes, we are encouraged to heal with Christian Science. And myself, taking it to the logical end conclusion, I did not have health insurance in those years. I did not go to a doctor. This brings up a lot. So let me organize my thoughts a bit. So yeah, I mean, so I will say I did go through class instruction. And so that is when you spend time with the teacher, a Christian Science teacher, you spend 2 weeks doing lessons that have all been laid out by Mary Baker Eddy. She gives you the topics, but the teacher sort of has some freedom to set up each of the lessons in those 2 weeks. And I remember during class instruction, my teacher gave an example. She had been a practitioner for many years and she was talking about a call she had received from someone and was helping him with the healing. And if I remember correctly, he was calling for help with something like anxiety or stress. And in one of the calls, in one of her conversations, he mentioned something about his daughter being sick. And she was like, excuse me, your daughter is sick? What are you doing to address that? Right. She was very clear that like, you do not ignore Christian Science healing is not ignoring the problem.
Right.
And I don't know if maybe his wife wasn't a Christian Scientist and so, or whatever, but she told him, take your daughter to the doctor and address that, you know?
Okay.
So when I think in the history of the church, it may have been different, but when I was a member, I heard a lot of things like, you know, many Christian Scientists have a lot of family members who aren't Christian Scientists. And so one of the top goals is to alleviate fear. And so if you're with a family member who is very worried about you, you can go to the doctors to alleviate their fear.
I see. Okay. It's all right.
So
let me acknowledge here that one of the questions I think I have for you, Carly, is did you experience bias or prejudice amongst other Christians, other people who called themselves Christians, by being a Christian Scientist? Because what I'm acknowledging here is my ignorance of Christian Science and that the little bits that I do know are very biased, very, very probably twisted. And I think I hear some of that you're explaining that, yeah, that caricature isn't quite true.
Right. So we spent a lot of time also talking about how to talk to other Christian Scientists. My teacher was also a lecturer. So the church has a team of lecturers who go out and, you know, churches are supposed to host one or two lectures a year where they invite the public to come and learn about Christian Science. And so my teacher was a lecturer and there were videos of her lectures online. And I chose her as my teacher because a lot of her lectures were about how to talk to people, other types of Christians, people who were non-believers at all. She was very open in talking, like figuring out how do we have conversations? How do we connect with people and teach them about Christian Science? And I really liked that she had that focus. So that's why I wanted to take class with her. Yeah. So, oh man, she was so with it because she would say, let's say you're talking to a Pentecostal and they're very interested in the apocalypse. Well, here's this, you know, she'd flip through her Science and Health. Here's this section. And then she would recite these paragraphs from memory.
Okay.
So there was a lot of that of like, there's a chapter in Science and Health called the apocalypse. where Mary Baker Eddy interprets Revelation. And essentially, I mean, this is true for, I think, most of the Bible as interpreted by Mary Baker Eddy. It's all a metaphor. And so it's citing the Bible, right? So you're connecting with other Christians on the Bible, but interpreting it in such a way that, no, let's take this to the, in my interpretation, logical conclusion.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. She has a chapter on Genesis. She talks about how chapter one is very different from chapter two. Again, that's something I never learned when I was a Lutheran, but she says in chapter one, it says God created man and woman together. Man and woman are both together a reflection of God. Mm-hmm. And so she, in a lot of parts, she cites God as father, mother, God. There's feminine and masculine to God. Okay. So that's another thing I really enjoyed about the Christian Science Church. Yeah. So defending our right to choose Christian Science healing over medical science, right? So when I was a Christian Scientist, I was also a political activist. And in that time, the Affordable Care Act was passed.
Ah, okay.
So this is something I was thinking and talking about a lot.
Yeah.
I think with Medicare or Medicaid, there's some kind of accommodation for Christian Scientists. So if you reach a point where you can no longer care for yourself, you can go to a Christian Science nursing facility, and Christian Science nurses will look after your physical needs. So they will help you walk. If you need a diaper, they will change your diaper. If you have an injury, they will change your cast or your other, whatever other bandages you need. But it's along with Christian Science prayer.
Sure.
But with the Affordable Care Act, there was no accommodation for Christian Scientists. And I was very young and didn't have a great job. So I couldn't afford to buy health insurance on my own. And so the law requires, if you don't have health insurance, you had to pay a fee. And I paid that fee. It was not easy, but that's what I chose to do. And I wrote letters about, you know, there should be an accommodation for Christian Scientists. I still very strongly have this belief that you should be able to choose whatever care you like, even if you're completely wrong. You know, you know, competent adult can make mistakes or is free, and it should be free to make mistakes. So
I wouldn't venture to say, you know, what the right thing is for the technical details of a particular medical policy for the United States. What I do think is important is that people have access, that poverty isn't a restriction for people gaining access to medical care.
Sure. And then that's another point of contention I started to have with the Christian Science Church is, you know, if we thought we had the truth, most people didn't see the truth the way we did. Mm-hmm. The Bible and Science and Health and the lecturers and the teachers, everything I was hearing from the leadership in the church was go out and proselytize. But Christian Scientists, most of them, the ones that I met, were very reticent to go out and talk about Christian Science with the public.
Okay.
So I had become a board member of my local branch church in Austin, Texas. And there's a little thing called South by Southwest in Austin, Texas.
A handful of people show up, yeah.
Right. I mean, it felt like the whole world was coming to Austin at that time. And we had a reading room. So every branch church is required to maintain a reading room, which is supposed to be open to the public, and it sells Christian Science materials. So we have several periodicals. You can go in and read the weekly lesson. Some reading rooms even have events like lectures. Sometimes you can have a lecture there. You can have, you know, a Bible study or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Whatever the members are able to do. Our reading room was smack dab in the middle of downtown Austin, where all of the crowds were going to be walking by.
Right. Okay. So
myself and a few of other members, we wanted to do a specific South by Southwest outreach to people. And I had one particular friend, she had all these amazing ideas about a recharging station. You can recharge your electronics, and we can give away bottles of water with quotes of science and health on the label. Yeah. And so it's like refresh your body, refresh your electronics, and then we will refresh your spirit, you know?
Yeah.
But the members of my church voted against doing this. And
oh, wow.
Okay. I know. I was so disappointed. I thought I worked so hard on presenting it to the members. We had a regular meeting with that was Robert's Rules of Order. Yes, so yeah.
Church polity, and you've got to follow the rules. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, it was very disappointing. What happened instead was we rented out our reading room to, you know, that happened in downtown Austin all the time. If you had space, you would rent it out to someone who was promoting something for South by Southwest.
Sure.
And so one of the other parts of Christian Science is that since, you know, we don't do medicine, we don't drink alcohol, no smoking, it's back to the concept of the body isn't real. And I can talk more deeply about that.
Oh, but, interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. But the idea, like, alcohol was very much taboo among Christian Scientists. And South by Southwest, there's a lot of partying going on.
Sure.
And so we wanted to rent out our reading room. It brought in a lot of money for the church. But, I read the part of Matthew, I think it's Matthew, where Jesus throws the money changers' tables.
Yes.
Like, we don't do this. And, you know, they didn't, my fellow members, most of them didn't agree with my identifying our reading room as part of the church, you know, and, you know, I was just very disappointed. And it's hard. Like, I've went to events where I would try and pass out copies of Science and Health and talk to people about Christian Science. And that constant rejection is hard. It's hard to take.
Yes.
But if you believe that it is the truth and it is life-saving and truth is apparent to every single person, then you should be able to reach people, right? Like, you should be able to appeal to their natural God-given rationality, and they should see the truth. And if you truly believed that, how could you not go out there and talk about it with people?
Right, exactly. So I don't want to disrupt your train of thought here, but I definitely want to hear a little bit about the body isn't real. that sounds real interesting.
Sure. So it's the foundation of Christian Science is mind, which is a synonym for God, spirit, another synonym. That's real. That's reality. Matter is not real.
This is kind of Gnostic.
Yes.
A little bit. Yeah. It's kind of the old ascetic ideas of, you know, just what you said, the non-material is what is important, the spirit, and the material is either insignificant or bad, evil even.
Right. So I think Mary Baker Eddy, she kind of references the early Christians, and I think that's supposed to be the Gnostics.
Okay.
So matter is illusion. Sin is illusion. We also talk about error in Christian Science. Error is sin. Error is an illusion. So when she says that something is erroneous, that means it's fake. It's not real. So matter, there's a lot of discussion in Science and Health about material mind. Material mind tells you you're sick and alone. And when you are right with God, or when you are, you know, expressing spirit, another synonym for God, when you're expressing spirit, you feel no sin. You feel connected to God. Sin is disconnection from God. And so when you are in your spiritual mind, you feel no disconnection from God. You have no complaints from the body. And so that's why Christian Scientists rely on Christian Science healing the way Jesus did in the Bible. And then that's also why Christian Scientists don't drink alcohol, don't smoke, etc.
All right, so I've got one more question, and then I want us to segue to the rest of the story.
Sure.
And that is, you mentioned that you went through the training to become a practitioner. Did that precipitate doubts? Did that make it worse, or did that strengthen your faith? Did you feel more strong after going through that training?
No, I felt much stronger after that, and I stayed in the church for many more years after that. And also, so class instruction, sometimes branches required you to have gone through class instruction before you could teach Sunday school or be a board member. So I had to do that in order to be a board member. But it's so easy. When I spent 2 weeks surrounded by only Christian Scientists, we were able to stay in a Christian Science nursing facility, which was a wonderful, peaceful, you know, I think it, I've heard of people who like to go visit monasteries and meditate and all of that. It's a very rejuvenating experience. That's what it felt like for me. It was funny too, like the food that they served in the nursing facility was very bland. And some of my classmates complained about that and got takeout one or two nights. And I was like, yeah. I liked the blandness because even like the flavor of the food wasn't distracting me from studying, you know, and we had a lot of homework every night to do. We had a lot of reading to do every night. And then we'd have a lecture for 8 or 9 hours a day. My teacher could talk a lot. She never kept to her agenda because she would just go on and on. And it was fascinating. And it was wonderful to be in this space where nothing could contradict what we were learning, right? Like it was completely surrounded by Christian Science. And I loved it. And I wanted to recapture that, which is why I was like so involved with the church, you know, doing Bible study, teaching Sunday school on the board. I joined a board of a foundation that provided housing for students. Cause I loved it. I loved not having to explain why I didn't drink wine with dinner, you know, or why I wasn't going to take an aspirin. You know, it was very comforting.
It's very nice to be around people who get you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So clearly you were taking it very seriously. You wanted not only to live it out in your own life, but you felt this was the truth and you wanted to give it away. And so you were taking steps to proselytize, to make it known to people. Mm-hmm. And there was some resistance there from the church. I'm wondering if that was any part of the doubt process for you or what did lead to doubts for you?
Yes, that was a big part of it, that there was this my proposal for our reading room was a big part of my like feeling uncomfortable in church because I disagreed with other church members, right? And I was very young. I think I must have been early 30s. I think all the other board members were in their 50s or older, you know? Yeah. And so it was very uncomfortable and it was very confusing to me. But, you know, I would talk to my teacher about that and she completely was with me, I was with her. I'm like, this is the role of the reading room. It was a very slow process, which I know many of your guests have described that you can't, it's hard to identify any one thing. Another thing I noticed was that my friends who seemed happiest ignored the rules that were inconvenient.
Interesting. Yeah.
And that goes for Christians. And, you know, I have family members in other churches too. And I was like, I am trying to like the Bible, Science and Health. I'm being told that if I live according to these rules, I will be happy and I will flourish and God will bless me and I will feel the omniscient love and support of God, but I'm not happy. Hmm. And these people who seem to be happy don't think about the Bible as much as I do, you know? Yeah. And they're not, it seemed to me that they weren't weighing every single decision. I mean, down to like every single decision, like what to eat for breakfast. They weren't weighing, is this in line with what God wants for me today? Right, you know, right. Should I wear this or that? You know, like every single thing. And yeah. And so the people who were happiest just ignored things. Like they drank when they want. They had premarital sex. So no, you know. And I found myself deeply, deeply unhappy. And I think striving, praying, asking God for guidance hid my unhappiness from myself, right? I was hiding it from myself for so long until I couldn't anymore. And it got to the point where if I tried to open the Bible or open Science and Health, or if I stepped in a church, even if it wasn't a Christian Science church, I just started bawling. I would just cry uncontrollably. I still don't know what that was exactly. Interesting. Yeah.
You are the second person in the last few weeks to tell me that they got to the point where just setting foot in a church would break them down to tears. And of course, I imagine then the people around you interpret that the wrong way. In some way.
Yeah. I mean, there were several times I had to leave a church, not even my own Christian Science church, but I had to leave churches where I was just crying and I didn't want to distract other people because I just was crying too much.
Yeah.
And so at that stage, it's like, well, I see other people who are happy who are not going to the Bible for guidance. So I started looking outside of that. I did some therapy. Oh no, I did some therapy, you know, like definitely frowned upon, although not explicitly. And I don't remember anything specifically said against therapy and Christian Science, but it was frowned upon.
I think that that's really important to expound upon here is that there can be unwritten, unspoken, but very clear rules. You know, when you step outside of a particular boundary and you get told, even if it's in coded language or what have you, that that's not acceptable.
Right. And so I think I was probably the most judgmental person around, right? Because okay. I was like, this is logic. The logical conclusion is that therapy cannot help as much as if I just actually did the Bible lesson every week.
I see.
And that was me. And in the moment, I hated being that judgmental person. And I really hate it now that I was that judgmental person. You know, like friends I had made in college who weren't religious or weren't Christian Science, I had to weigh, like, should I be spending time with this person? Like, should I be going to a comedy club? Should I be watching a movie? You know, like... That questioning took a toll. and I hated that I looked at my friends and was doubting about whether their friendship was healthy, because healthy equated to godly spiritual.
I see. Yeah. I think, you know, again, I've said this a few times, but just the tendency for certain religious traditions to deny our humanity. You know, we need to be social. We need to be connected with other people. And we might feel that hesitation that you're describing that would hold us back from truly engaging, truly being vulnerable with somebody else, truly being a good friend, even.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of the other drops of doubt came about. There were a couple people in my church who passed away. And the way Christian Scientists deal with death is very, very strange and unsatisfying to me, because death isn't real, right?
I see. Okay.
Matter isn't real. And I think I was part of the church for 10 years, and I never figured out what the Christian Science perspective of death was. Also during that time, my dad was killed in an accident.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
So, I mean, I was dealing with the grief of that, sort of. I don't know. I mean, who can say when you actually have dealt with grief?
Sure. I do think that's another thing, is that we are not allowed to grieve because there is some answer, whatever that answer is, you know, to explain it away or to make it better. Instead of really grieving, I've lost this person whom I love deeply.
Yeah. Well, so there's a lot about thought in Christian Science that what you think becomes reality. So your thoughts need to be aligned with God. And if you give into thoughts that are material, then you experience disease and death. And so if someone passes away, you know, I would get an email about, we're having a celebration of life for someone. It's like, oh wow, okay, so that person passed away. But that's it. Like, we wouldn't talk about that person anymore. Okay, yeah. And I wasn't able to, I think this was really hurtful for me personally, that I wasn't able to go to those celebrations of life. There were a couple of them and I just couldn't with my schedule. I was out of town for one of them, but there was no other way for me to connect with people who knew my friends. These were my friends who were Christian Scientists who I knew from church, and I couldn't connect with others about losing them. So yeah, that was pretty tough. Sorry.
No, it's fine. This is real.
Yeah. I can't remember if there was something else I wanted to say about that.
So the reality of losing people in your life who you loved, juxtaposed against the idea that it shouldn't matter, because the physical isn't real, or the material isn't real, starts to really get to you, I imagine. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So one thing that I was very unhappy about was my body. I was overweight, and I was trying to find this sentence in Science and Health, but I couldn't find it. It starts, it's lettuce. So people reference the lettuce diet, but it's let us live in the grace of God or something like that. So that's the lettuce diet. So one of the things when I started to break away from the church was I started paying attention to my diet, and started actually listening to my body of eating this thing makes me feel energized. Eating this other thing makes me feel lethargic. Mm-hmm. And I started reading about, you know, how different foods affect you. And I got a personal trainer and was exercising and feeling a lot better. I was going to therapy and learning to identify my emotions and how, you know, the habits of dealing with emotions from my parents and how I was avoiding my emotions.
Yeah.
You know, and so that made me feel so much better. So one thing in Christian Science, like one of the ways I defended Christian Science healing when I was a Christian Scientist was look at the effects, right? You know, medical science, sure, you can test, and but there's still a lot of unknown about how the human body works, even in medical science, right?
Sure.
And so you can see the effect, like, does what you're doing have an effect and does it have the desired effect? And with Christian Science healing, I experienced healings. And so I experienced what I wanted. The effect was there. So it was real. And no one else could tell me that experience was illegitimate because I experienced it.
Right.
And then that became the thing that I used to say, Christian Science isn't working because therapy gave me the effect. Dieting gave me the effect. Exercise gave me the effect that made me feel myself again. And I came back into myself, but I didn't even know I was missing. So
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
I imagine the listeners are, you know, nodding their heads as well.
Yeah. So that was amazing. And I kept trying to reconcile all of that with Christian Science, but it just stopped working. It didn't make any sense anymore. And I stopped attending church. It took me probably another year or two before I officially wrote the letter of, please remove me from your membership so that I would stop receiving email invitations or invitations to join committees or anything. And, you know, I had to actively write to my teacher, because the other thing about class instruction is you go to class and then every year after that, you attend an association for one day where you meet everyone else who has taken class with that teacher. Your teacher gives a lecture. And so you're expected to do that every year. And so I had to tell my teacher, I'm not coming this year and you can take me off the email list, which is, that's hard, right?
Like, I can imagine. Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder, do other Christians have to confront breaking away that directly?
I definitely think that depends on the tradition and even the specific church, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there are lots of people who, I think like Catholic traditions, they have to kind of denounce the Catholic Church to move on. I do think that the vast majority just slip away without saying anything. Mm-hmm. And there may not be a formal procedure. I had Amy Logan on, who was a Mormon, and I think she had a very similar experience of having to kind of in writing say, I'm done. So I think there's a pretty vast array of diversity there. A question that I have for you is, before you got to the point where you're literally writing letters saying, please take me off the list, was there another person, another friend or a family member that you were able to tell? And what was that experience like?
Oh, sure. So my sister has been atheist for a long time. And she would attend church with my mom and me. My mom is still a Lutheran.
Yeah.
Until she's like, I can't do this anymore. And I didn't understand. And now it's really interesting to be on the other side and be like, yeah, I can't bring myself to go to church right now. Yeah. You know? And, you know, talking with my mom a bit, I think my mom asked me, well, how can you still celebrate Christmas if you're not a Christian? I was like, well, I feel like it's more, I celebrate the secular parts of Christmas. It's about being part of a culture and acknowledging milestones, which I really like. Like, I think I went for a few years where I didn't acknowledge holidays. You know, I work from home, so I would just work and, you know, the days wouldn't be any different. And I think, I don't know what it is. I'm something instinctual about marking time and taking time to look at how your life has changed in these increments, right, that we measure with holidays.
I highly recommend Sasha Sagan's book For Small Creatures Such as We. And she basically makes that exact argument that we, as human beings, as social beings, we need to have the markers of time, things like passing into adulthood, commitments to one another, you know, births, and then, you know, the cyclical nature of just the year, you know, having celebrating spring, celebrating the winter, that kind of thing. And that actually is deeply ingrained in us. And there's nothing woo-woo spiritual about that. Or we can reinterpret them or invent our own non-spiritual rituals that mark the passage of time.
Yeah, I think so. I did send messages to a lot of my Christian Science friends, and I'm still friends with some people, and they're at differing amounts of devotion. But I had a conversation with a couple friends of mine I met up with after I finally started saying to myself, oh, I'm an atheist. So I was like, okay, I'm going to tell them. And we're still great friends. So
yeah. And I'm curious, because that's a big deal, right? How long did that take for you to say to yourself, I'm an atheist?
Oh man, it was years, maybe two or three years, you know, of like slowly breaking away. So one moment, it must've been 5 or 6 years ago now, I was in New Orleans with my sister, didn't drink.
Okay. Yeah.
And I had some menstrual pain, and I was very, very uncomfortable. And I was like, here I am in New Orleans. I'm trying to pray this away, but I'm missing out. I'd wanted to visit New Orleans my whole life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was my first time there, and I was absolutely miserable. And I'm like, is this what God wants for me? And I actually bought some painkillers and was like, is this the first step? Is this the first step of me leaving Christian Science, that I'm buying these painkillers?
Yeah.
And then it was a huge relief. And I was like, oh, I can actually enjoy spending time with my sister here. I still didn't drink alcohol, but like, why was I making myself suffer? Yeah.
Right. Have pain unnecessarily. Yeah.
Right.
So when you first told your sister, was she excited for you? What was her response?
I think she was very relieved to have someone else in our family who, well, I can listen to her complain about her coworkers praying a lot, or like inviting her to church or whatever. But I don't know. My family, we're all over the spectrum. So
yeah,
it didn't feel very different. I mean, not being a Christian Scientist, my mom went through breast cancer while I was a Christian Scientist, and she works in a hospital. And so I wonder if she felt very alienated from me for that period. She would go to church with me when she would visit. But when she had breast cancer, I would drive from Austin to El Paso and go to chemo treatments with her and sit with her. Because again, Christian Science is about, the first thing is alleviate fear. With non-Christian Scientists, you want to alleviate fear. And so I was there for my mom, and she said that she was very grateful that being a Christian Scientist didn't prevent me from doing that.
Right.
But I do remember a conversation with her. We were waiting for her to go in and start the chemo treatment. And I think it was like, you know, her third or fourth one. So her body knew she was going to be miserable for the next few days, and she could feel it coming on in that anticipation. And she was like, "Ooh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this." But again, I still strongly believe it's your choice, right? You can choose to refuse treatment if you want. And I said that to her, and she's like, "Don't joke around." I was like, "I'm not joking. It's still your choice, right? Like, I hate the idea of anyone being coerced into anything."
Sure.
Which takes me back to, just to circle back on proselytizing. I was always very bad at it and very uncomfortable doing it, but I felt like it was necessary, right? Because right. I am completely anti-coercion. That has not changed for me at all. Yeah. So trying to convince someone that they need to be a Christian Scientist was very hard for me. It's like, no, it's rational. You should just see it for yourself and then join us of your own free will. It didn't work very much. I don't think I recruited one person to Christian Science.
Interesting. Yeah. I do think that that's very common, right? Like of all, any of the proselytizing traditions, it is presented as, you know, these three easy steps and the person's just going to fall on their knees and become a Christian or what have you. And obviously that just isn't the way that human beings work.
Right.
And so I think it's very common to both feel guilty and feel like you're not doing it right somehow. And yet it's a completely unrealistic idea that you can just go radically change someone's mind overnight with, you know, one conversation.
Right. Well, and added to that, we're supposed to be able to heal people, right? Like we're supposed to be able to go out like Jesus on the street and say, hello, my friend, what is troubling you? And then pray about it. And then they are supposed to experience a healing.
Right.
And after class instruction, you're supposed to be able to do that. I was not successful.
Yes. One more thing I want to explore here is with your mom. That's really fascinating. You know, so you're there with her as she's going through chemotherapy. Obviously, you're deeply concerned for her. You love her, and you know that this is a very uncomfortable, painful process. And I wonder, is she also worried for you because of the differences between her Lutheranism and your Christian Science?
If she was, she did not let it show.
Okay.
Yeah, I think at first, when I was first getting involved, they're a little worried. But I think over time, I never heard from my dad or my mom concern about me. Again, I think I was just lucky. Like I was very healthy. I did break my ankle once, but I borrowed some crutches from someone and it healed.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Maybe it wasn't actually broken. Again, I didn't go to a doctor, so I don't know if it was sprained or broken, but I know I couldn't put any weight on it for at least a week. I just used crutches.
Yeah.
So, and that was a lesson in humility because I remember going to the grocery store and having to walk very slowly and people getting impatient behind me. And I was like, oh, I used to be that impatient person. Okay, this is the lesson I'm learning. God is teaching me to be patient.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. And then are you open about your atheism at this point with family, or is everyone else, the current believers, are they accepting of you in that position?
It hasn't come up. I mean, I did spend some time with my mom and I did not attend church with her. But other than that, it really hasn't come up. And yeah, that's something I need to figure out when to say, oh, thank you for praying for me. Or when to say, actually, remember when I was really gung-ho about Christian Science? I'm not that anymore. So
it is a hard conversation. I've got a number of friends, you know, old high school, college friends who I haven't talked to yet. And it's just awkward, right? To call them up out of the blue. Hey, I'm talking to you in 20 years, but by the way,
right?
I am no longer a Christian. It's just, it's a hard conversation to start.
Right. Well, I mean, I told my Christian Science friends because I was like, I'm going to start posting pictures of myself on Facebook where I might have a glass of wine in my hand. And so I wanted to be clear with them because I had other friends who did that. And then I think that they left the church, but I wasn't sure. Or they would post something that was like, that's not in line with Christian Science. Like, did they leave? I haven't seen them at church in a while. And it was very unclear. And I didn't like that at all. I wanted to be very explicit with people.
Right. So then on this side of deconversion, you have stepped away. It sounds like it's been a few years. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you find meaningful? Did you return to philosophy at all? Or you know, what are the things that satisfy that internal, I'm struggling to not use the word spiritual, but you know, that human need?
Sure. Connecting with people I love, friends.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier, as you said before, like it's easier to be vulnerable with someone. And I enjoy a cocktail. So going out and having a drink with someone. Some Christian scientists said you shouldn't even go into a bar, even if you're not going to drink, because then you're supporting the alcohol industry. And that was, I have felt some conflict and guilt around that. No more. So it's much easier. You know, doing yoga, exercising, so much easier without that little guilt of like, right, is this wrong? Am I separating myself from God and sinning in this way? Will this cause more pain in the future? And no, it doesn't. Doing yoga has been really great for me.
Yeah. So, good.
And I don't know. I can't articulate exactly what it is, but since I left the church, I've been able to focus on bigger life goals. Maybe it's that I'm not sitting around praying for God to put my life in order. I was taking action myself. So I ended up getting a great job. I ended up making enough money to buy my own house, move to a city that I love.
Nice.
Like, that happened after I left the church. I don't think there's a direct connection, but I'm sure part of it is that I stopped waiting for God to give those things to me.
Exactly. You take on the responsibility of the decisions in your life rather than having the sense that I need to pass that up the chain somehow.
Right, exactly.
For people who, you know, maybe they are a Christian Scientist, or maybe they're a believer of another tradition, but they're starting to have doubts. Are there some resources that you would recommend? Anything to read, a YouTube channel, that kind of thing?
I think therapy was a big help for me, like being able to recognize my own habits of thought distinct from, I thought I was supposed to be thinking, but actually recognizing my emotional reactions to things was so helpful. So I recommend therapy. There wasn't anything I read in particular,
okay,
but it was going through those experiences of like, what actually is giving me the results I want? Is it through what the church tells me to do? Or are these other pathways also effective?
It sounds simple, but back to the idea of science, you can test this stuff, right? You can, you know, you can try something and say, hey, does this improve my life or does it make it worse? Or, you know, and is the thing that my life has been predicated on thus far, does it improve my life or is it making it worse? And just being honest about the answers to those questions can have a pretty radical effect.
Sure.
Carly, is there some topic or some question that I haven't asked that you wanted to get out that you were dying to share?
Oh, I did want to say one thing that I was attracted to in Christian Science is that they never say everything happens for a reason.
Interesting. Okay. Like, yeah. I hate that, by the way.
Yeah. I think that's a point of contention for a lot of people.
Yeah.
No. And so that, you know, I thought this must be the correct religion, right? I was full of my young college philosopher pride of like, oh, I found it. I found the religion and I can be a smart philosopher and a Christian at the same time. I think there's a lot of hubris in that, but yeah, those things where like, oh no, it's just that, we don't understand yet, and yes, suffering and the appearance of suffering is terrible. And Christian Scientists acknowledge that. But as a Christian Scientist, I also never did anything about it. I sat in my room with my books and prayed for people to feel God's comfort instead of going out and helping, right? Going out and feeding the hungry or rebuilding after a hurricane. That was a big turnoff for me when I was starting to leave the church. It's like, you can't just sit in your room and read. That doesn't actually do anything to help people. Let's do something.
Well, that sounds like a great place to wrap up.
All right.
Carly, thank you so much for being on the podcast and sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's so great to connect with other folks who have been through similar things. And so thank you for making the podcast.
Absolutely. Final thoughts on the episode. I really appreciated Carly's vulnerability here. She was able to share with us to the point of tears, talking about the need for grieving the people that she had lost. You could tell how much emotion she was experiencing when she talked about needing to go to a doctor or a nurse in order to give solace or comfort to the people who love her. So you could hear the tension of what the Christian Science Church was pulling on her and what real life was demanding of her. The other thing that comes through loud and clear is her love for her family and even her church members, the people that she was working with. I find it fascinating that Carly was more evangelistic than the church she was a part of. She wanted to participate in South by Southwest and do an outreach and was getting resistance from that. And then when she pointed out that alcohol might be used in the facilities when they rented it out, she got pushback on that. So she was trying to be righteous and to do all the right things. And yet eventually she had to acknowledge that this wasn't working. It did not work. And the promises of the Christian Science Church didn't live up to reality. Eventually she finds a bit of comfort in therapy, in a good diet and exercise, and those things give her fulfillment. I want to thank Carly for being on the episode and sharing with us her story, for doing it with such vulnerability. Thank you so much, Carly, for sharing your story. I think for those of you who are deconverts from a more evangelical bent, it's always useful for us to hear the similarities and the differences. From the perspective of evangelicalism, Christian Science is a cult. From the perspective of a deconvert, there really isn't any difference whatsoever. I would say that Christian Science is one of the more high-demand religions, and therefore it has some particular quirks that are interesting to learn from. But you can find an equally high-demand evangelical church on any given Sunday as well. On this side of deconversion, a lot of people ask the question, is this or that a cult? And there's lots of podcasts you can listen to that talk about this, that go into depth. I find that in some ways, the question is kind of meaningless. You can ask, is a church abusive? That's an important question. Is a church manipulative? That's important. But the word cult actually is so broad in its scope that it entails almost every religious experience. I guess the point I'm trying to make here is that I have interviewed people like Amy Logan, who was a Mormon, and now Carly, who is a Christian Scientist, and I'm sure there will be others that I'll have on. And I think there's a way in which, even on this side of deconversion, people can still have prejudices. I'm just pointing out that that is ridiculous. The Secular Grace Thought of the Week is inspired by Carly when she was talking about her parents and giving them comfort about her religious experience. I'm sure there are places in our lives where we can look at loved ones who we have hurt, where we have said things that were hurtful, where we have done things that were hurtful. Number one, forgive yourself. You were under a lot of pressure. Number two, reach out to those people and remind them that now you can love them unconditionally. You can love them with wide open arms, without hesitation, without reservation. But be intentional about that communication. As always, I've got a number of really interesting conversations in the pipeline coming up. Please look forward to those coming soon. Until then, my name is David, and I am trying to be the graceful atheist. Join me and be graceful human beings. Time for the footnotes. The beat is called Waves from Makai Beats. Links will be in the show notes. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can promote it on your social media. You can subscribe to it in your favorite podcast application. And you can rate and review it on podchaser.com. You can also support the podcast by clicking on the affiliate links for books on gracefulatheist.com. If you have podcast production experience and you would like to participate with the podcast, please get in touch with me. Have you gone through a faith transition, and do you need to tell your story? Reach out. If you are a creator or work in the deconstruction, deconversion, or secular humanism spaces and would like to be on the podcast, just ask. If you'd like to financially support the podcast, there's links in the show notes. To find me, you can Google Graceful Atheist. You can Google deconversion. You can Google secular grace. You can send me an email, gracefulatheist@gmail.com, or you can check out the website, gracefulatheist.com. My name is David, and I am trying to be the graceful atheist. Join me and be graceful human beings. This has been the Graceful Atheist Podcast.